Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee tonight for suffering. We do thank Thee for all that You have predestinated for us, the way in which You've called us to walk. Praise Thy name tonight for this. For we desire obedient hearts unto Thy will and Thy way. And we will give Thee praise under every circumstance and every condition. That our hearts will go out to Thee, and that the word we heard this morning may be constantly put into practice as faith looks to Christ and His righteousness in the promises and for that future glory which Thou art going to give to us when You come to receive us unto Yourself. Our Father, Thou knowest the word that You've given us for tonight, and we do trust that You will open our mouth and fill it. You said, open Your mouth wide and I'll fill it, and we open it tonight that You may fill it. Our hearts may be encouraged and our hearts may be warmed and our hearts may go out after Thee. We look to Thee for every family of this assembly. Thou knowest their needs, of the fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, of the children, the young people. We do pray that Thou wilt meet every need, whatever it is. Oh, that Thou would bring to Thyself those that do not know You. Should have mercy upon them. Because we have mixed families. Some are saved, some are lost. And we do pray, our Father, that Thou will complete the work which Thou hast started. Now we look to Thee tonight for a pure heart and clean hands as we handle the Word of God. We look to Thee to give us what is needful and unction from the Holy One. May Thy will be done, for in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you don't mind, I'd like to continue where we left off this morning. Along a different line, but still considering faith and the things that God is able to do for us. I looked up the words in the New Testament that has to do with in reference to God being able. And these encouraged my heart. And I would like to start with the first one in Romans chapter 4 and end with the last one in Jude 24. And just speak briefly about each one as we go through. And look and see what God desires for us and put our faith in. You know the story of Romans 4, as God showed us that righteousness came to Abraham when he was an ungodly sinner, and that God gave him that faith to lay hold of him and to believe him, that he would become the father of the faithful. And beginning in verse 18, he begins to give us the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. Now, if we'd understand what the word able means in connection with our God, it means that God is almighty. It means that God is all-powerful, that He is qualified to do for us. He is capable of doing it. He's adequate to do it. He's skilled in all that He does for His people because He is able. He is the fit one. He is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in us. But I want you to notice that Abraham's faith rested upon the living God, and that the promise that God had given to him, that in Isaac his seed would be, and that God would give him an heir from Sarah's womb, which was dead in regard to producing children. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, for he was fully persuaded. I want us to look at that. God desires that we would be fully persuaded that the promises he has given us, the promises that he desires for us to plead before him, are true promises. That they are not given to us to tease us, as we saw in the unconditional promises this morning, and we did not have time to look at those promises that had conditions about them. But God has given the promise, and God is able to perform that which He has promised. Now, what promise has God given you to rest upon? What has He given you to plead before His throne of grace? I quoted a number of promises this morning that God has given me over and over again. And I am persuaded that these promises are given to us by God and that He intends to fulfill them. He intends to bring them to pass. I quoted to you from Isaiah 54, where He tells us to enlarge the place of our tent and to stretch forth the curtains of our habitation, to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes, for we shall break out on the right hand and on the left, and our seed shall inherit the desolate cities of the Gentiles. And He said, be not afraid, for I will not put you to shame. God has fully given us His promise. If I could quote some of the promises that God has given you. Are you fully persuaded that God is able, all-powerful, almighty, qualified to carry out what He had promised against all odds, against everything? You want a precious study? Just to read through. Read the life of Joseph. Just read it. We never hear one murmur, one complaint. But that Joseph knew that God had sent him into Egypt for His glory. That God was able to hold him and to keep him under every circumstance. And after his father died, or even before that, when he revealed himself to his brothers, he said, don't take it so hard that you sold me to the Ishmaelites, because God was sending me ahead to prepare for that which has come upon us. And when his brothers were afraid of him after his father died, that he was going to change his mind about them, he told them, he said, listen, it was God's doings. God sent me ahead to prepare. And God was able, He raised up Joseph that he might be able to take care of his brother. There's one found in Romans chapter 11, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. In this old chapter, you remember, Paul was reckoning with the Israelites and telling them that God had not cast away all of His people. Even though He had given them up in unbelief, there was still a remnant according to the election of grace. And even though He had cut them off, that He might graft in the Gentiles, He said, I'm going to bring some of you in. And He said that if you abide not in unbelief, ye shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Now let's look at that briefly. Let's not give up hope on God saving any of our loved ones. Let's not give up hope on God bringing any in, because He is sovereign. In His way, in His time, He is able to graft them in to the true vine. He is able to cut them down. He is able to cut them away from their depravity and to bring them and graft them in to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us be persuaded that what God is able to do, He is willing to do. Because when the blind man came and said, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou can give me sight. And the Lord said to him, do you believe that I am able to do it? And he said, yea, Lord, Thou art able. And there we have it together. God is able and God is willing. He is able to bring them in. In His sovereignty, in His grace, in His mercy, in His power, because He is able. He is the fit Savior. He is the fit substitute. He is capable. He is the qualified one in His office as mediator. He's the all-powerful one to graft them in again and to put them in to the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Romans chapter 14, and you know that this chapter was written to show that in regard to things that are doubtful, we should not judge our brother in regard to these things, and hear that the strong should not look down upon the weak, or the weak should not judge the strong, because one said that he was able to eat this or drink that. The other one said he could not do it at all. Verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Both the strong and the weak were admonished to look to the Lord. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. I like that. God is able to make the strong to stand, and surely He's able to make the weak to stand and to be holden up by the grace and power of Almighty God. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able, He's all-powerful, to make him stand. Now let us not look at the weak and say that he's not able to make it. But let's pray for him. And here's the promise. God is able to make him stand. God is able to hold him. God is able to keep him. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, It has reference to our being able to hold out. But this all depends upon the powerful God and the grace of God to hold us. He had been talking about the Israelites in the wilderness and showing how they had been entrapped and ensnared in so many different ways. I think it was 10 times that they tempted the Lord. And then he tells us in verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." I like that. It is by God's faithfulness that he's able to hold us and to keep us, that we may be able, with the temptation, to bear whatever God puts upon us. Now, I want you to notice what he says. "There hath no temptation, no testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." And what is he going to do in his faithfulness? Well, he will not suffer us to be tempted or tested or tried above that we are able. He will hold us by his almighty power, but he will, with the temptation or the testing or what comes upon us, he is also able to make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And there's so many things that God brings us into. So many things that we get ourselves into. And we cry unto the Lord. And God is able to make us stand. Then I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And here's one I really love. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now, the context in which this text is set is the offering. He was writing about the offering that he was going to come to take. He was going to send Titus to get the offering, to take down to the poor Jews at Jerusalem. And he had told them in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And then he gives us the promise. And God is able to do what? "To make all grace abound toward us, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." And what he's saying in all of this is that God is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we will always, in all circumstances, in whatever the need, to be able to do and to give, because God's grace is sufficient. Now, I like this verse of Scripture because of the fact of the work that God has called us into. He has called us to give. He has caused us to give freely. He has caused us to print and to buy and to give away. His word is truth. And there is that which a man scattereth, and he gives, and he has much to give. He that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I thought I had the reference in Proverbs. Brother Edward read it in the prayer meeting the other day. That it talked and really blessed my heart. Can you find it for me, Brother Edwin? You know which one I'm talking about? I thought this was it. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. But there is the scripture that talketh about the man that gives, the man that sows, he has more to sow. He has more to give. And God is able to do that for us. 11:24. Thank you. That's it. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet or suitable, but it tendereth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. I look at that verse of Scripture, and I come to it quite often. And the more we give, the more we're able to give. And I keep telling our group here, the day we stop giving, that's the day God's going to stop giving to us to give. And the more we give, the more God blesses. I've seen this over and over again. Somebody sent us money designated for 1,000 large print Bibles. And I keep telling my sister, I said, be sure that in every package it's going to the prisoners. There's a Bible going out. We've got to get rid of them. We've got to sell them. Because I believe that when we get rid of those, there'll be more coming. And the more we give away, the more we are able to give. Because God has given us all that we need. As I told you before the other night, and I'll tell you again tonight. And when we have our meeting sometime this month, we'll have our financial report for last year. And God was pleased to send into this world last year $232,000. And most all of it was spent on getting out the truth. Because there's no administrative cost here at all. It's to get out the truth. Brother Doyle and I was talking about it this past week. He said, we've got so much to print and so much to keep in print. We've got so many titles. He said, look like we'll never be able to put anything else just to keep our backlog going because it goes out so quickly. And the more it goes out, the more God gives to send it out. And the day we quit giving is the day we quit getting. I fully believe this. And people are amazed. Well, you don't charge for this, you don't charge for that. You give this, you give that. One guy wrote in about the tapes. He said, you loaned us 15 tapes and you don't even charge us postage on them. Well, God provides. And I like this scripture. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, but ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, I don't mean to tell you that we do not have our times when we scratch and our backs are to the walls and we wonder where the next thing is coming from. But here's a promise. God is able. He is able to give us that sufficiency and we may be able to go on. How are we going to build this other building that we may enlarge? I don't know. How God's going to furnish it, but I believe He is. I believe He will in His time that we may be able to send forth the truth of the Word of God. And the more we give, my one desire is to scatter the truth around the world. My doctor that operated on me, at least my stomach doctor that I go to, he didn't do the operating. When he's kept track of me every 3 months, ever since the colon operation in 85. About 6 or 8 months ago, I was to him and asked me how I was feeling. I said, the ulcer still gives me trouble. He said, tell me again what you do. And I told him. And he says, why do you do this? Are you on an ego trip? I said, ain't no ego trip with me because I don't get nothing monetarily out of it. I put into it. I said, but I must do it because God has told us to do it. And I'll do it till I die. And I believe God's going to let us live long enough to see a ministry here where we are printing books. We might sow the seed around the world, not only with tracts and booklets and Bibles, but books. I might die tonight. I don't know. I don't know God's mind. But this is the vision that He's laid before me. And this promise has been mine, that having all sufficiency in all things, we may be able to abound to every good work. And this is a good work. What is greater than preaching the gospel? What is greater than heeding the call of our Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel? What is greater than that? I don't know. Is greater to you? To serve Him and for Him to use us for His glory. But He's able to make it abound, make His grace abound to us. And as we scatter abroad, as we scatter forth His goodness and His kindness, as we are benevolent to others, He will give us more that we may be able to do the same. Was this not the principle that George Mueller worked on? God was able to do it. He will give us the bread to eat. We may be able to multiply it. Did not our Lord set the example when He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and just kept breaking them and breaking them and breaking them and breaking them until they were all fed? There were 5,000 beside the women and children, so they could have been, very well, could have been 25,000 people there. Or 10,000 or 15, whatever it is. Scripture says 5, besides the women and children. So you can let your imagination go as far as you want. But He kept breaking and breaking and breaking. And then He had 12 baskets of fragments taken up. Well, He had more in fragments than He started off with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And doesn't He tell us? Didn't He give that to us to let us know that He's able to do the same thing, to keep breaking and breaking and breaking and giving and giving and giving? He never runs dry. I was really caught between this and another text tonight. It just loomed up at me like that when I read the life of Joseph this week. And it said there in Genesis 41, verse 56, that when the 7 years of famine came, and all the corn was in the granaries, and it says that Joseph opened the storehouse. Joseph opened the storehouse. And the people came crying to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. And God tells us to go to Christ. Christ opens the storehouses. All of the granaries are at His command. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in us. And that's another one in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Follow me now. I didn't have the scriptures tonight, and we didn't have an outline to go by, but kind of feeling our way through this and asking God to give us what is needful. And you know the story here. This is the end of the prayer. And I want you to notice what prayer this is. Began with verse 14. Paul said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And as if He had not said enough, that God would grant us according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might in the inner man. We can pray that. Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. We can pray for that. And we being rooted and grounded in love, we may be able to pray for that. We may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, we can pray for that. We can pray that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And as if He wanted to really impress us of God's ability to give us all things, the Holy Spirit gave Him these words, now unto Him, unto God in Christ, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him that is able. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding. Unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. You see how it keeps building? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I probably told you this before. I've been with you a long time. I'll tell you again tonight. There was a square in the city of Letchfield, right in the middle of town, the park. And often I went there to pray at night after the town was closed down at 9. And I'd just walk in and around that park and around. And I never will forget one night, I prayed and asked God for everything I could think of. I prayed for every individual in the United States that the Lord would bring to my mind. Even came to Pensacola. I prayed for everybody I knew in Pensacola. And finally, after a while, I just stopped. And I said, Lord, after all I've asked You for, and all we've prayed for, You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I have asked or have even thought of that's come to my mind, according to the power that worketh in us. I want to ask you one question. Is there anything too hard for our God as long as this scripture is in the Bible?
I like that message that the first missionary to India. He took his text in Isaiah 54 back in 1792. And what was his name? Carey. William Carey. And I've got it written on the flyleaf of my Bible in Isaiah 54, his text. Undertake great things for God and expect great things from God. And he preached on evangelizing India. You know, beloved, I believe our God's too small. Not the true and living God, but the one we think of. It's too small. We should expect great things from him. We should trust him that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now look at Philippians chapter 3, and here's another one that we can plead. In Philippians chapter 3, we find these words in verse 20. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, and it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, I don't see anything wrong with using that problem, that scripture, with the problems that we face, the individuals that we face, the things that come into our life. If God is able to take and change our vile bodies, and it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, then God is able, according to the working, his working, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is able to subdue and undertake in all circumstances from us, according to the working, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's keep that one in mind. That's another one to plead. And then the 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. This is another one that's precious. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Why, Paul? For I know whom I have believed. I know the person of Christ. And I am persuaded. What are you persuaded of, Paul? That this one to whom I have committed my soul is able to keep it against that day. What day, Paul? The day of judgment. That's a great persuasion. Did you know that? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But beloved, that is a gracious testimony. No matter what comes our way or what happens to us, we're persuaded by the grace of God, and faith lays hold of him that God is all-powerful to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And you know that's going to be the final test of God's power, of God's keeping. The final test is at the great white throne judgment. And he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day when he shall judge the earth. Let's hurry on. Just briefly look at the rest of them. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 is another one that we ought to mark and plead. And it reads like this. Read verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behoved Christ to be made like unto his brethren, he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted. And because he has suffered, and because he has been tested and tempted and tried, he is able to succor or run to the aid of them that are tempted. Christ is able to run to our aid under every circumstance because he's a faithful, merciful, and faithful high priest in things pertaining unto God. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able. He is skilled in this. He's qualified for this office of mediator and high priest to succor, to help, to run to the aid of those that are tempted. Then, of course, Romans 7:25, how could you ever forget that one? I mean, Hebrews 7:25. Oh, this just looms up out of the Scripture as a blessed, blessed one. Wherefore, God is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing Christ ever liveth to make intercession for them. And this is one we should please. God is able to do what? To save us to the uttermost. To keep us to the end. Under every condition, under every circumstance, whatever that uttermost may be, he's able to save us. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Unbelief is a sin. Unbelief takes God's glory away from him because he's able and willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in him. And of course, the last one is in Jude. Verse 24. And here we have the culmination of them all. Now unto him, speaking about our living God in Christ, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. He's able. What is he able to do? What is he all powerful to do? What is he capable of doing? What is he qualified to do? To keep us from falling. And then not only keep us from falling, but to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In other words, he delights over us. It is his joy and pleasure to take care of us. That's amazing to me, but it's true. That's what he says. He rejoices over us with love. He went and found us and put us on his shoulder and brought us into the fold. It says that there was rejoicing in the presence of the angel over one sinner that he brought in. Zephaniah said he sings over us and rejoices over us. And so he joys at it. It is his delight. It is his joy. It is unspeakable glory for him. It is his ecstatic delight to take care of his own. So that he could say when he was talking to the Father in John 17, Father, all of those that you gave me, I have lost none of them, but I have kept them. And so he could go on down in John 17:24 and say, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou gavest me before the world began. So he delights. He delights in us. That amazes me. There are a lot of things in life that amaze me. It amazed me that I ever got a woman that would love me and put up with me for 47 and a half years. It amazes me the love that my children have for me. That amazes me. It amazes me that the people of God put up with me. That's truth. I'm telling you the truth. It amazes me. But the most amazing thing in all the world is that God joys over taking care of me. He's providing all of my needs. He delights and has joy and pleasure in taking care. And I got to thinking about that and meditating upon that this afternoon for an hour or two. And I got to saying, Father, my Lord, my Savior, is it really true that you get great joy in providing everything that is needful for this ministry? And as if he just spoke to my soul, he said, yes. I take great delight in providing all that is needful for this ministry to which you and the people's hands have been put to. Isn't that something? We don't have to go begging. God's going to provide. He has provided. He will provide. It's joy out of doing this, mind you. It's joy in taking care of us. You know, one of the hardest things in the world to do is to take a gift. It takes grace to take a gift. Now, you get joy in doing for others, but you want to take the joy away from them by giving to you. Oh, no, no, you shouldn't do this, you say. But they get joy out of it. Just like we get joy in doing, well, you shouldn't do this for me. I'm not worthy of it. And we all know that. But they get joy out of it. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows our unworthiness. But he gets joy out of taking care of us, watching over us, keeping us from falling, seeing that we come to him, and he has a way of bringing us to him. He has a way of causing us to come to him. And he might hear our voice. He might see our face. Because he delights in taking care of us. As if he says, now listen, my child. It was given to me the responsibility of being your surety. Now that's my joy. For the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross and despised the shame. And he says, this is my joy. I rejoice in this. You might sit in your home sometime and I'm looking at you in your face tonight and I look at you and you say, well, that's kind of hard to believe. Well, it is, isn't it? But the Lord Jesus takes delight in everything about us. He wants us dependent upon him for everything. He wants us to bring all of our needs to him and ask of him and let him provide that all the glory and honor may be to him for what he's done. He rejoices over us with love. So he's going to keep us from falling. And then he's going to be able to say in that day, Father, here they are, all that you gave me when he delivers up the kingdom to the Father. He's going to present us all like himself, spotless before the eternal weight of glory. Well, I trust you've been encouraged tonight and that the Word of God has been precious to your soul. It's been precious to mine. Throughout the day, meditating upon these things. And we need a day like today when faith is stressed, and we put the emphasis there to look away to the Lord, to look to him for his glory. And I pray that God will give us that which is needful for our hearts. Brother Edward, would you lead us in closing prayer?